Contest Uncut, yeah, you know that's us. Where we only speak the real and the real rock with us. Where we motivate the people and politic on success. Oh no, we ain't DJ Khaled, but they swearin' we the best. Contest Uncut. Contest Uncut. Contest Uncut.
What's happening? It's Contrast Uncut. It's season 4, episode 46. I want to give a huge shout out to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents. It's your host, Zylo, aka DJ Juan Dollars, like I won some money. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have an incredibly dope and gifted and talented special guest. This brother is on a Zoom across the pond, all the way from Toulouse, France. He is a world-renowned shoe designer and artist, tastemaker, and he supplies the culture with drip that is undeniable. You know, he's a world, one of those Sakai guys, known for vibrant variations of colors and mixtures of design for his own designer shoe that makes everybody want that thing. I mean, it's highly in demand, and I understand why. And if you don't know who I got on the show by now, it's all good. We got all episode to chop it up with the Sagai guy himself, Stan Birch, everybody. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I can't complain, brother. You know, we had this crazy windstorm and rainstorm over the past few days and knocked our power out, and it's been wild, but they closed the Grapevine, so we live like 2 hours outside of LA, so we couldn't go to LA and work. So it's just been, you know, interesting. You adapt to Mother Nature. But brother, you know, time's the most finite thing we have on this earth, so I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming on the show, rocking with me, rocking with the viewers and the listeners. Thank you, Stan.
Thanks to you, bro.
Speaking of time, brother, what's a normal 24 hours for you?
I wake up at 7 o'clock, sometimes 8 when I'm a bit tired. And, you know, I drink a coffee and a green tea every morning. And I get to work as soon as I finish the coffee. I get to work early in the morning. I, you know, paint on shoes every morning until late night. And that's globally, you know, a 24 hours day. I just eat, drink coffee, work, and go to sleep, and I do the exact same thing the day after.
Wow. Now see, the reason why I ask that question every time for this show is because people don't understand what it takes to be successful or what it takes to get to where they want to be. And the amount of work it goes in, as soon as you get done drinking the coffee and the green tea to stimulate the mind, and so does the coffee. And you know, from there,
green tea is good for the skin too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh.
Very good for the skin.
See, I do know it helps with short-term memory. It hurts immediately. Hey, you have a great idea and you forget it, drink you some green tea.
It'll exactly. Coffee is good for the memory too. Coffee.
Yes, yes.
And chocolate.
Hey, I didn't know chocolate's good.
It is.
That's creating a whole new habit for me. So Stan, brother, I got a quote. Let me know how this quote relates to you, or if it doesn't, the ideas, I want you to talk about it. And, you know, I try to go with the spirit and going in with quotes and seeing, you know, how it goes. But if you disagree, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Let's just talk about it. Are you ready?
Yeah, no, I'm ready.
A quotation is a handy thing to have about. Saving one the trouble of thinking for oneself, always a laborer's business. A.A. Minley.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
A quotation is a handy thing to have about. Saving one of the trouble of thinking for oneself, always a laborious business. A.A. Minley.
I agree.
Do You know, when I think about this quote, I think about when I look at your shoe designs and I look at the artistic work you put into there, it's a statement. It looks like, you know, it could be a famous quote that inspires a lot of your work.
Absolutely.
You know, something you see or something throughout your day that inspires you, and you allow your work and your business to speak for itself through the artistic approach. It's like, you know, what a singer would do for a song or a songwriter, you know, you put that same artistic touch. And when I read that, I was like, you know, he has to have some type of ammo that is powerful in his words, that the artistic approach.
It's exactly as a, you know, I'd say like a rapper. Some singers, when you hear the first voice tone, you know it's them. And me, I have a little bit the same thing. When you see one color, you know it's me, you know?
Yes, yes.
It's a bit like that.
Speaking about the fashion industry, you know, the shoes. Did the game choose you, or did you choose the game?
It's a bit, I'm going to give a little bit of a tricky reply. I chose the shoe industry while it was looking for me. You know, yeah, you know, I basically found out that I loved doing this while I was bored. You know, I was not working at that time. I was just, you know, walking around in my apartment, not knowing what I was going to do, what I wanted to do. And, you know, I had a white pair of Nikes and a pen, and I just, you know, decided, oh, why not, let's give it a try. And I did absolute horrible things on it. But I just loved it, and I knew I was going to do that. At the exact moment I finished the little, you know, things I did on the shoe, I knew I was going to do that for a living.
Now, did you wear those first shoes for yourself, or was somebody, did you make them for somebody, your first pair of shoes?
No, I did them for myself, not knowing at first that I was going to sell shoes later. This exact first pair I didn't have much money at the time. So when I wanted to do another custom work, I did it on the same shoe that I did the first one. And I did the third one. And this shoe had like 8 customs on the same shoe. So at the end, it looked like a, you know, big brick or horrible thing.
Do you still have the shoe?
No, I threw it, I think. Oh, it might be at my house somewhere. No, I think I gave it to homeless or something like that. But, you know, the pair had, you know, like 30 paint layers on it. So it was absolutely unwearable. But it was fun.
I got you. You know, when was your confirmation that, you know, shoe design and putting, you know, your artistic touch on people's feet, you know, the first thing people look at is the shoe wear. As I'm trying to get a nice spot, as I hear the dogs barking in the background. But yeah, brother, when was your confirmation that is what you're supposed to do with your life?
I think when I got my first order from a customer. I think for a year, I did like 20 pairs, but without any buying demand. So it was like just, I was just working to show people what I can do, but nobody was ready to buy shoes from me. So I was a bit depressed at first. I was saying to myself, okay, maybe what I do, people don't like it. And one day I had a girl who wanted something from me, and I just, you know, thought, okay, maybe this is going to work. And I did the shoe to that girl, and then the second one, and the third one, and the fourth. And when I was at about, you know, 10 customers, I said to myself, okay, maybe this is going to work, and this is what I'm going to do for a living. And here I am.
Did you feel like you manifested that? Because I feel like, you know, you saw yourself where, hey, you can go through every emotion. You went through the emotion of, because, you know, an artist goes through so much. And you know, creativity is always a demand, but sometimes when it's not received right away and it takes a second for people to catch on to how brilliant something can be, it can definitely deter the motion. But that's the whole point of going through every emotion, because you never quit. And, you know, I feel like there was manifestation, there was prayer. You know, you brought a lot of hard work to the reality of what you were trying to do to, you know, to create what we enjoy today.
It wasn't, I wouldn't say it was manifestations and prayers, but it was definitely some hard work. Like every day, no weekends, no holidays, from early in the morning to late at night. A bit of sadness, some happiness. It's a bit, you know, a mixture of a lot of emotions who permits me to do what I do. So it's just not, you know, working for working and just, it's not a question, it's just money. I'm not working just to get money and go to holidays. I haven't taken any holidays since 3 years, I think. I just don't. And first of all, because when I'm in holidays, I spend too much. But I don't have the time to, and I don't want to. I will go in holidays when I will be successful enough, when I have plenty of money, plenty of time. But for the moment, I just think I didn't do as much as I want to be able to take some rest. You know?
Yeah. No, and that's also that outlier that, you know, you're mastering your craft. You're putting in all that time because you see the vision. You know, there is no plan B. It's only plan A.
And, absolutely.
You know, when you have that vision, you do all the work, and then, you know, eventually people will start to catch on. And, you know, it takes one person to start to lay the brick, and then a foundation is built. And, you know,
having a plan B is the most, how could I say this? Having a plan B is opening the way to have a failure in the plan A, you know?
Yes.
And this is something that most of the people have a plan B, but they shouldn't, because having a plan B is opening a door to fail in the first plan. This is not good at all.
Facts.
That's my vision. Some people won't be okay with that, I'm sure, but this is my vision of the thing.
You know, but it's something to also put a point to is that plan A, you can have other branches to that same tree of plan A. And, you know, from designing shoes, I can imagine you doing some crazy denim pants and putting some design on there with some paint and then things.
Man, I can show you something. This is a new project I'm on, which is, it's not denim. It's more like, how can I turn the camera? Yeah, this is the workshop. I just got it 2 weeks ago, so I'm a bit. It's a bit. I'm working on some, you know, things and bits and, you know, basketball, splitted gold and black.
Wow.
Chairs. This one is fucked up. This is just, you know, all you see is just, you know, a test. I started doing this. Pain doesn't stay. You know, chairs, you know, objects. I think, yeah, this it's art. This is my little office.
Whew.
with my little friend right here. A few basketballs, a few bits of tissues, which I have to frame. I have to frame all this.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, I'm into plenty of art thing.
I want to see when you dress up the little homie in the back. I want to see when you put some paint on him, Because now he's. You can't?
I can't do this. No, it's my sister's. She asked me not to do it. When she said that, I was so pissed. Because I took it from her just to paint it. And when she said no, I was so sad.
Fair enough. You got to respect little sister stuff.
Big sister.
Oh, yeah. That's even more. Yeah. You know what? Big sis, we got to get little bro another one just so he can create and show you what what it should really look like.
Absolutely. You know,
as we talk about sisters and you know, familyhood, there's another hood of, or another part of that is relationships. And, you know, you get that family vision of what good relationships should be like, you know, what to feel like, love and passion. You can also feel like when people are treating you wrong because you don't feel like the same love you feel at home. And so I like to ask, you know, what can you tell everyone about relationships and your path to your greatness and what it's been for you? Because, you know, I don't want to name drop, but it's been a lot of celebrities that are wearing this brother's shoe. It's extremely inspiring because you took the path to understand your gifts and recognizing and capturing that dream. And, you know, so, you know, what can you tell about relationships on your path?
First of all, relationships is absolutely everything. Money is something. Money open doors that, you know, when you don't have any, you can go through these doors. But relationships is something way beyond money. You know, how could you say, you know, meeting someone who knows someone, who knows someone, who knows someone, et cetera, et cetera. This is absolutely everything. Sometimes you have a lot of money, but you don't know anybody. Money will bring people to you that don't really like you for who you are, but for what you have. As long as relationships, when you have some real friendship or family or friends, relationships in the general term, it's absolutely everything that you just need to know people. That's why you have to be kind and nice to people in every situation. You know, when sometimes a customer is just, you know, an asshole, it happens sometimes, but you have to keep in mind that maybe this guy knows someone that can be useful for you in your life. And even this customer, even if he is, you know, not polite or, you know, maybe he will call you again if you are kind to him, very simply. Yeah. So you have to be, you know, you have to be just, you know, nice to people every time. Every time you meet someone, you have to be nice to him, just as simple as that.
Absolutely. No, relationships will get you places money cannot. And, you know, you do a great thing, they'll tell 10 people. When you do a bad thing, they'll tell 100 people.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you do a good
thing, people always say.
No, I was going to say, when you do a good thing, they only tell 2 people.
It's true. You know, at school, when you work well, nobody tells you work well. But when you do, you know, when you do something bad, everybody tells you did something bad. You know, this is exactly the same thing.
Absolutely, brother. I got to know, Stan, what has been your most rewarding moment so far?
Man, I had a lot. I had a lot, but I would say maybe when in 2000, last year, I think it was in April, I worked with Sony Music in New York on a series of 34 pairs of Air Max 97, I think, if I remember good. I was walking in the street. I think I was coming back from the post office. And, you know, I open Instagram, my messages, and there's this guy who asked for, you know, a bulk of 25 pairs. You know, normally when someone asks for, you know, big amount of pairs. Once you tell them the price, they just leave you on read, or they never reply in general. So this guy, I tell him the price, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, okay, I'll get back to you. Which in my head was, okay, bye, you know? And I really thought.
True.
And a week later, he comes back to me and he's like, okay, I'm going to send you a pair. Make us a little prototype and send it back. So I received the pair. I make a little prototype thing, beautiful thing. And I asked him for the address where to send it back. And he says, Sony Music, 25 Madison Avenue, New York. And I'm like, what? Because I didn't know it was Sony Music at first. I was like, okay, Sony Music, shit. Did I do everything good? I was like, okay. And so I sent the pair back. They love it. And I've been to make 34 pairs for Sony Music. And, you know, I don't know if you know a tequila brand called Zsa Zsa.
I'm not a big drinker, but no, you can educate me. Shout them
no,
out.
It's an American tequila brand, which is owned by the Chainsmokers.
Okay.
So I've been to work with Sony Music, this tequila brand, and the Chainsmokers, this was my biggest, and it's still my biggest contract, my biggest amount of pairs in one time. But making 34 pairs of the exact same one is very painful. I can tell you, it's horrible.
Oh my goodness.
But you know, at the same time, it was for Sony Music, so
it was worth,
you know,
it.
I had to do it. Yeah, it was worth it, absolutely.
But you know, that it lets everybody know how exclusive your shoes are. When they get that custom drip, it's limited edition. And you gotta understand why that price makes sense. You're having something that you know, his brother's not gonna break his wrist, or you know, get the what is it, when your wrist locks up? None of that. He's gonna keep on creating. We ain't gonna put that pressure. Now, but I am gonna put pressure on another topic. I want to know, what are your three top favorite shoe designs that you've done?
I would say at first, Air Max 1, which is, I'm a big Air Max 1 collector. Not as big as some other people I know, but I probably have like 35 pairs of ones, which is pretty good. You know, I've been collecting for 3 years, which is not very long. I just love Air Max 1. I just love them. I'd say Jordan 1s. I just have two pairs, but you know, it's just an iconic shoe. You know, Michael Jordan basketball, which is, you know, a bit like the center of all this, you know, street culture. You know, basketball, Michael Jordan, Jordan 1. You know,
Jordan 1 is a very controversial shoe.
Absolutely. And I'm not much into the other Jordans, you know, fives, fours are pretty cool, but it's not my style. Fives I don't like, and there's not so many Jordans, so many, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10.
24.
So many models, 20, you know. And I'd say in number three, I'd say, of course, the Sakais. Because I have a particular relationship with this kind of thing. You know, I made, I think, 160 of them, which is pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I just love them. Yeah, in a year and a half, I made 160. I just love, you know, I can show you this.
Yeah.
You know, this is the very, very first Sakai custom ever made in the world. I'm the first to have done this, painting this Sakai. You know, great thing. You know, I just love the design, you know. It's like a plane. It looks like a plane. I just love it.
It goes crazy, the two tones. Now, what other shoes you got over there?
And I have this. So this is the LG Waffle Sakai. This is the very first pair of Sakai I made. you know, splitted, you know. So in one shoe, you have four different colorways. So this is the purple one, which is pretty cool. You have now the green one, which is pretty nice. Not my favorite. The like kind of aqua, you know, blue one, blue and yellow. And this one, you know, kind of bacon type, which is pretty cool.
I love
all these splitted with, you know, this is my old signature. The first I had, I changed it now. Yeah, this is pretty cool. I have some New Balance 327, which is, you know, splitted 1-2. This changes color with the daylight. It becomes purple, I think, like lilac type of purple.
Wow.
This blue side, which is pretty cool, blue and green, and, you know, red pink thing. Yeah, pretty cool, this one. Not my favorite, but pretty cool. I have, oh, shit. Sorry.
So how good.
These ones is the last one I made. I think I finished it the last week, I think. Like, you know, I keep doing my splitted thing. I just love having four different colorways in one shoe. I just love it.
No, that's, you know, crazy.
This is, you know, blue and, yeah, my fingers are filthy. I was working right just before, sorry. You know, blue thing. This one is like a strawberry color type. I just love it. Yeah. And this is the, you know, brownish thing with a bit of pinky brown and a simple yellow and white. And the last one is the vapor waffle. I don't know how you say this in English. Vapor waffle. Sakai. The latest one. So yeah, this one is pretty cool.
The ones we've seen T.I. wearing, right?
Yeah, T.I. got, I think, 4 or 5 of them.
Woo.
T.I. took me, I think, 12 or 13 pairs, I think, in total. So, I don't know, I just keep doing this splitted thing. This is the very first colorway has been made on this model. Pretty cool.
I love it.
This is the, I just like this one, you know, gray, pink, and green. Very simple, but kind of cool. I kind of like it. And this one, you know,
yes.
Red, yes. Blue, green, and, but I think this one is my favorite. I don't know. I just
you
love
have it. A very clever way of matching color compositions from, you know, from the both spectrums. You have a great eye coordination of seeing what is very appetizing.
But this is a strange thing because I don't, you know, I don't do sketches or mock-ups or I just, you know, take some, you know, 4 or 5 colors and I just, you know, do it. I don't overthink of where can I put the color. Will it look good? I don't know. I just do it. Which is pretty funny because, you know, it's just at the moment inspiration. You know, I don't think before doing it. The first Takai I made, you know, I took 4 colors and I just painted it. Even if the shoe was worth 600 euros, I think. So it's $660 when it came out the week after. I just, you know, didn't overthink of, should I do it? Should I not? What? No, no. I just took some colors and, you know, I just expressed myself.
I love it. I love it. You know, speaking of expression, and I think that's a lot of the big key of, you know, when you go to France or you go, like you look at UK's fashion trend, they're way ahead of where I'm from, California. And then you take where, you know, New York, they're a little bit ahead of California, but they're still behind what the UK is trending. Like you go to a Neiman Marcus, you know, all the reps are telling you what, when they're going to Italy, when they're going to France, when they're trying to basically learn what's coming out, and then that will drop a year later. And it's like, what is a few things people got fucked up about shoes and fashion from the UK?
First of all, UK is, you know, when you go to London, you see people dressed like, and you're just like, wow. You know, they are just way before the other people, in my opinion. You know, I think the four big, you know, fashion places, London, Milan in Italy, Paris, and New York. Am I right?
Yeah, facts.
But, you know, when you look at, you know, UK rappers, fashion style, they are just so different, you know, big jackets, big shoes, big jeans, big, you know, they look different from the other places in the world, which is pretty interesting. I just love it.
Absolutely. No, it is kind of ironic. They have the 90s trend stuck in the 2020 rappers in the UK. And then right now, you got everyone trying to wear skinny jeans. And, you know, I mean, some of the stuff feels nice. Fashion, designer jeans, designer denim feels nice. I'm not going to lie.
Like, not all of them.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah, not all of them.
All right, brother, I'm going to put a pause on my fashion questions and your history. And I'm going to do my impulse Q&A, and then we're going to wrap up. My impulse Q&A goes a little bit where I pretty much ask questions that are impulse that I wrote down earlier, and I want your impulse answer. I want you to answer three questions. You don't like the question, just say pass, and I'll move on to another question. Are you ready?
Yep.
Question number one. What is the funniest thing you've seen happen in the warehouse?
My workshop?
Yes.
Nothing is funny in my workshop. I just work. But basically, I'm alone. I'm alone. There's nobody with me. So I'm not telling jokes to myself. Or sometimes. But, you know, it's just 100% work. Work, paints, you know, colors. And nothing funny. Just work at 100%.
All right, well, give me a funny story.
I don't have any funny story. I'm not a funny guy.
Fair enough.
That was the funny story.
Number two. That was funny. What is one thing?
How much money?
I was going to say, question number two. What is one thing you love but you wish you hated?
Sweets and soda.
Fair enough. What's your favorite sweet? What's your favorite soda?
Man, every sweet and Coca-Cola.
Hey, does your Coca-Cola taste different in France than America's Coca-Cola?
I don't know. I've never been to the U.S., but I would say probably Coca-Cola received is the same everywhere. I don't know. Maybe.
Something for everyone to Google. Question number three. What is one food place that you recommend people try while they're in France?
I would recommend going to Toulouse and go to a place called L'Alimentation. L'Alimentation, L'Alimentation.
Okay.
L'Alimentation.
Well, we got to order.
Burgers. Now you can order burgers. They won't be good as the one you have here. The duck.
Okay.
Duck is great.
What's the sides?
Huh?
Well, what are the side options? If we got duck, what's coming on the side?
Good question. I always eat the duck. I don't like change. I always eat the thing I ate before because I know it's good. So just try the duck.
Gotcha, buddy. You have survived my impulse Q&A. And as a reward, the floor is yours. Let's promote. Let's shout out your page. Let them know where they can find you at. Go ahead, brother.
You can find me on Instagram, Stanifloo, Stanifloo. Or the professional, like my book thing where I have all my customs on is FLOU Customs. As simple as that. I only have Instagram. I don't have a website. I don't have a Facebook. I don't have just Instagram.
Whew. You know, fun fact, 90% of the people I'm able to book on this show is through Instagram. Yes, I have a publicist that works for the show. We have two, shout out Snoop Dogg, shout out Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents. But I get 90% of my bookings through Instagram on my own, and they help me organize and make myself look good. But at the end of the day, Instagram is one of the greatest platforms right now. Clubhouse is doing incredible, but I want to make sure we shout out Instagram, because I wouldn't have been able to get to France and
California. Thank you, Instagram.
For real.
Instagram is a funny thing because, you know, today, you know, when you are a model, modeling, an artist, a singer, you know, a worker, anything, Instagram just connects everybody. You know, you're in the US, I'm in France, you know, 21 Savage, T.I. Rich Fresh is in the US, and, you know, Shadow Refresh, you know, Instagram connects the whole world together. You know, I would never be able to talk with, you know, a guy like Rich Fresh without Instagram. And, you know, now we are good buds, you know, we're good buddies, and we talk sometimes. He actually ordered a pair last month. You know, he's talking about him. He's a great artist. You know, he's one of my, you know, success inspiration, you know. Yes. He's just, you know, you couldn't be more at the top than he is. He's great. But Instagram is, you know, everything. The number one connection of everybody in the world.
Absolutely. No, shout out Henry Mass. Shout out Rich Fresh.
Absolutely. I have a Henry somewhere. Somewhere
yeah. I got mine too. It's mandatory. Now, brother, if you notice my show, it's different. It's unique. You know, I had to have segments because they say you got to have segments, but I don't do segments like them. And I'm like, how do I keep that same energy and close out? The viewers knows it's coming. I'm going to hit you with it. You got any questions for me?
For you? What do you do exactly for a living? You're a DJ, right?
A little bit. I mean, when my brother, see, I managed my brother for a long time, and he was a rapper, and he still is a rapper, but, you know, shows have been canceled down, so I DJ for him, and that's where DJ Juan Dallas came from. I get to work with producers. Like right now, I'm in a studio, JP Bangs' studio. It's my brother, and he's done incredible things, and I'm able to work with him. I do the show through Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents, and they keep me busy covering events. And then I shoot music videos and produce documentaries. And so
you do a lot of things.
Yeah, seven streams. Yeah. Seven streams.
And but you're in Los Angeles, right?
I'm in a city called Bakersfield. It's about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Los Angeles.
Which is not really far.
No, not at all. I'm in LA four times a week.
Cool. Even now with the COVID thing, you can go to LA?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm there.
There's no more lockdown here in the US. No more lockdown. No more, you know, problems with COVID.
No, COVID is still a big deal. You know, they did have the lockdown, but no one took the lockdown serious, to be very honest, because the governor out here was...
Yeah, neither.
The governor was on some bullshit, to be very honest. I'm, you know, being... You know, excuse my French, but they, you know, the governor was on some bullshit, and you know, nobody respected it. A lot of the sheriffs in the counties didn't outlaw his rules. And so the first day, like initially back in March when they shut it down, it was legit crazy. You couldn't go to the beach. They had private security at Malibu and Santa Monica where you couldn't stop there. They were getting you to drive off. And Then it eased down, and when they called it in again to shut down, no one listened. And so we've been moving. you know, the whole thing is keep your Henry mask and
absolutely.
And you know, keep your social distancing, stay on top of your vitamin C's, your vitamin D's, take your zinc. If you don't know, you know, colloidal silver will help you. And, you know, stay on top of it. That's the best advice I can give. I've traveled the whole United States and by the grace of God and vitamins and, you know, staying aware, I have not caught COVID. I've dodged that thing like a stray bullet.
Good. But, you know, I think most of the people right now just don't give a fuck about the thing, you know. The more day it goes with the COVID thing, the more people just, you know, don't care anymore, I think. You know, it's been too long now. It's been like, you know, a year almost. Yeah, it's been a year, no? It was in March 2020, I think. So people are starting to get pissed off about the thing, you know. They just want to, you know, get their lives back, you know.
Exactly.
In France, we have no restaurants for a year now. Nothing is open. We have no bars, no restaurants. Last week, a restaurant owner suicided, you know. People are just starting to, you know, they lost just everything. You know, it's absolutely catastrophic. No restaurants for a year. Government, you know, helps a bit with a bit of money to the owners, but you know, it doesn't help that much. So people are starting to lose absolutely everything. So it's a bit catastrophic. Yeah.
Wow!
It's a big thing. You know, it's how life goes.
The kids are still on Zoom out here. They're supposed to go back to school in spring in person, but it's been crazy. Parents, teachers, students, you know, the suicide rate has been alarming. And it's just like, hey, we got to get through this. You got to breathe. You got to just say, hey, there's better days ahead of us. And we got to keep on staying positive and talk to people. Hey, well, let's, you know, stay positive. Do exactly what you can do to be happy. If that means taking a walk, if that means, you know, calling your loved ones, if that means playing a video game, or if that means drawing or making beats or singing, do it. Do it. Be creative. Yeah. Be artistic in this time. Use that energy elsewhere.
You have to be creative. If you are not creative with all the time you have, you are lost in your time. You are losing your time. You have to be creative. You know, we don't know what to do. There's no work. Nothing is open. There's nothing to do. So be creative. Find a video game. Yeah, call someone. Walk. Go see, you know, the homeless. Go, you know, do something. Just, you know, keep doing something. It's important.
Really? On that note,
doing nothing is depressive.
That's the biggest thing you should not do is nothing, because then you're feeding a monster. And you don't want to feed that monster the wrong way. You want to feed him.
Absolutely.
Man, that note, Stan, I appreciate you. It's been Contrast Uncut. It's season 4, episode 46. I want to give a big shout out to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents. I appreciate you, brothers. I wouldn't be able to do incredibly dope shit like, you know, interview Stan, you know, the Sakai guy, and, you know, chop it up with my guy. This brother let them gems fly. I'm talking about he let the 100-round carat drum of diamonds go. And, you know, he let some stuff sprinkle the diamond dust on the shoes for you, if you know. I appreciate you, Stan, for coming on, brother.
Thanks to you. I really appreciate you having me on. Sorry. I'm Stanislas, but Stan is way, way shorter and way easier to say. I'm 25 years old. I live in France, and I'm a shoe customizer.
And you're tuned in to Contrast Uncut. Boom.
And I'm tuned in to Contrast Uncut.
Thank you, Stan. I appreciate you, brother. Have a great evening.
Thanks to you. Thank you, bro. Bye.
Peace.